What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
All right, guys, let's talk about something we all need. High quality, comfortable, stylish clothing that actually holds up in real life. Whether you're grinding at work, hitting the gym, or just hanging out, the Normal brand has you covered. I've been rocking their gear, and let me tell you, it's not your average clothing line. They've nailed it perfect with the perfect blend of durability, comfort, style. Whether it's a go-to rugged Henley, a hoodie, a button-down that doesn't make you feel like a stiff, the Normal brand is where it's at. The best part is you can support the show while upgrading your wardrobe. Just hit the link in the description below. Check out their collection. Trust me, once you try it, you'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. The Normal brand. Made for real life, built to last. Now go check them out.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles, made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. I really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button, and now back to the show.
We have a very special guest in studio today. He is the vice president of Pillar to Post, the Chad Bora team, the great and powerful Joe Doctor. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, guys. Sir. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here, man. You know, for the people out there that don't know you, Joe, can you give us just a little bit, a little brief rundown of who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Born and raised here in the St. Louis area. Grew up in Glendale, currently live in Kirkwood. And for the plug for the high schoolers out there listening, CBC High School, class of 94. So did do that. So all the St. Louis people know. After college, started an interior remodeling company down in South Florida. Did a lot of high-end kind of remodels and flips down there and met my wife and then brought her back here. So I found a wife from Florida, brought her back to St. Louis, started selling real estate for a decade, and then transitioned into the home inspection world for the last 15 years.
Wow. Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. So what ultimately made you switch from real estate sales to home inspections?
It would have been a crash in the market. Oh, so okay. Yeah, it was one of those things. My wife, we had our second child on the way. It was around 2009, 10, the market started going down. I was the only income in the home and it was commission based.
Yeah.
The real estate was still moving, but much slower. And Chad Bora had a smaller team at the time, and he had always been trying to recruit me over the years. So it was just a phone call to him to say, hey, I want to talk, and the rest was history. So joined him pretty quick after that. And
rest is history.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
And been over here now 13 years.
Damn, dude. Yeah. So, you've been crawling around under houses and stuff for a decade. What's the wildest shit you've ever seen?
No dead bodies. Thank God. We do think about that once in a while, but no, I would say some of the wildest things is, really it's in crawl spaces where people they never can go in and see them. You can see some massive structural issues within crawl spaces from peering, of the supports in the middle of a home that have jacked the home up and it's bowing. So, structurally, yeah, it's definitely gotta be those crawl spaces, but I think you'd be surprised at how well most homeowners take care of their homes in the St. Louis area. Shocked.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some stuff.
You've seen some stuff. Yeah.
What's the most common thing that you're seeing in terms of home inspections and things that need to be taken care of or fixed or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, that is a loaded question. I mean, there are things that come up every single time as it pertains to minor electrical or windows, that you constantly see wrong with a home, but Those are all pretty easy things to fix. A lot of the GFCI receptacles that aren't working in a home is just because they're tripped and the homeowners think they just have a dead receptacle. And so we kind of
push the reset button.
You know, I couldn't tell you how many times I walk out of house and I feel like a hero. I'm like, these people have no idea all their outlets work now. And all I did was hit a button. So it just becomes one of those things where tightening a doorknob on a home, you know, it's like falling off. And instead of putting in my report, I tighten it up, all their doorknobs while I'm inspecting. And, you know, so I almost kind of feel like a hero, yeah, just fixing the little things. And, you know, you kind of wonder, are they looking around the house going, what? God, what? How did this all get fixed? Yeah. I just went left for the day, come home, and my doorknobs are tight.
Yeah,
this
my doorknobs are tight, and my outlets work.
Everything,
and,
yes, yeah, fixed, you know. Fixed. So
that loose cabinet pull that's been about to fall off.
Absolutely right. Just grab a screwdriver, it's in my pocket. Yeah. So it's all pretty low-hanging fruit, I mean, for the most part, of a lot of things, and it's just I don't want to call it common sense because it's not every person needs to know how to maintain and take care of a home. But, you know, those little things that we do find that can add up, it's nothing. Not often are we finding just catastrophic things, mm-hmm, but we do find definitely a laundry list every time we're there.
Yeah. Well, what's when it comes to houses, like what's something that people think is like a huge deal, but like it's really not?
Most often considered a huge ordeal would be the foundation.
Yeah.
Everyone is concerned about the foundation of the home. So when you come in, like you have any concerns, you're like, the foundation. Okay, why? Well, I don't know. You know, my dad told me that. Okay, great. That's cool. Well, there's a crack in the foundation. Perfect. Understand. We're in the Midwest. We are underground. That is very common. We'll check that out. But yeah, it's definitely with the homeowners, it's roof and foundation. It's really just the only two things they know to say, because someone will even say, I don't know what to ask. And I'm like, that's fair. I'm here to look at everything for you guys. But as far as that concern from that purchaser of the home, they're always worried about the roof and the foundation, and roofs, understandably so, sure, especially in our area. We're going through some,
especially
roofs
recently.
Right now. Oh man. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. So, and I don't want to say it's a loaded gun, but it's definitely something where, no offense to any roofers out there, but they're getting roofs replaced. They probably don't need it. You know, and, I have to look at a roof from a very objective standpoint of saying, hey, it is performing as intended. Yes, we may have some hail damage, or yes, we may see a little damage here and there, but it doesn't always require a whole new roof. But the insurance companies are paying for it, and I get it.
Might as well get a new 100%.
So yeah, like I said, this for the roofers, great. I did it. You know, I'm guilty. I mean, I had a roofer come out and after a hailstorm, and I knew my roof was fine, but I knew there was hail damage to it, and we got it done. And so good timing for me. So it does happen. And, but yeah, I mean, we definitely see the roof issues here, but the foundation issues, I'm telling you, it's pretty rare to find a significant foundation issue at home.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm touring houses with buyers, and yeah, like, I mean, I had one recently, it closed, they ended up closing last month, but I remember any time I showed them a house that even had like one little crack, or mm-hmm, even if it had a crack that had been repaired, like it was epoxy injected.
Yeah.
They were like, nope, we're out. And I'm like, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Like it, some, you know, many of these houses that we've toured that have these, yep, and it's like, it can be fixed. And
it can be fixed.
And like when people find out, like, okay, yes, there might be a small vertical crack, mm-hmm, that, you know, during heavy rain, you might get some leakage out of. Okay, you get that epoxy injected for a few $100 mm-hmm, and it's fixed, essentially.
It's fixed.
You know, like what I, it just, it drives me crazy because it's like, man, it's a pretty minimal thing, you know, yeah, pretty minute thing to that people really freak out. Now, if you go down there, now I've seen some foundations where there's a crack that I can literally fit my hand, mm-hmm, in. Like that's a big deal. Or it's, you know, running horizontally around the whole wall. Yep. Like that's a big deal for sure.
Or it's bowing. You're like, yeah, you see the bow. We should probably get out of it.
Yeah. Let's look at that. But like, if there's just a small crack, especially how often do we see them off windows?
Yeah.
Like it's always off the basement windows.
Yep.
Normal settling, you know,
it's
like
normal.
I mean, same thing with like, cause you see it too with new construction. I mean, I've had clients that have bought new construction. Like, well, I think there's a crack in the basement floor. I'm like, well, that's a normal like hairline crack just to kind of split the concrete up.
Exactly. So right.
Like that's going to happen, because when I built mine, we had one, and and we didn't think anything of it. But yeah, I mean, like you see things all the time with that new construction side of things, like even new construction. And I mean, McBride's they put it in writing, like they're very strict on their inspections, which I want to talk to you about it here in a second, but You know, what are your thoughts on people getting home inspections on a new construction house?
It's absolutely a must.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear.
It's a must. And this is not a knock on any builder, because the builder's not the one swinging a hammer. Yeah. So the builders can get a bad name or bad reputation based on an issue. But you show me one builder that's out there swinging a hammer or carrying lumber. They're not. Their job is managing the build of the home. Mm. Separate subcontractors for every phase. So
people are human.
And your electricians that are doing the work in the home, most of them aren't electricians. They have a master electrician that owns the company. And the people that work for him are electricians, but they're not the master electrician. Mm. So, you know, you do have people that may not be as qualified as the boss doing it. Nothing wrong with that. That's legal. That's how it's done. But, you know, the builder does get a bad rap because they got to take all the heat. Yeah. So, as far as blaming them for the build, I think it's unfair. You know, but it is their job to manage the build. And there's an issue with the management of the build. Great. But the builder's the one throwing that warranty in at the end, not that electrician or that plumber or the framer, you know, it's the builder. So, they do stick their arm out there in a little bit.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on what McBride has done recently on their requirements on home inspections? Like, you can't inspect the home unless, like, you can only do it up until, like, the studs are done or something like that, or the studs are in.
They made changes. I think it was last year. I told them to go pound sand. They asked us to double our insurance, what we had for insurability on our company, which is more than is needed. Mm-hmm. Probably more than anyone has in town. We were, I think, a couple of years ago, the only company that could insure for them because of our insurance. And I'm like, this is absolutely insane. I don't know why I need to double my coverage so I can inspect your brand new homes.
What are you worried about?
And what are you worried about? Right. So I do have a message to all of you buyers that are buying any new construction home, and all you realtors that are helping these people buy new construction homes, is buy the home. If you have the warranty, great. Let us come in after you own it.
Yep. That's what I always suggest.
100%. Give it 6 months, 8 months, test drive that home, let it settle a little bit. Tell me everything that's bothering you when I come in, and then we'll give them a list at the end. So there's no way around it.
Yeah, because most builders, I know when I built mine, you had like an 11-month, most of them have like an 11-month check-in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's anything, any problems or anything like that, that they'll come in and fix.
You can give them a report now from us. Yeah. Like, here, that.
Yeah. All of this.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yep. And we will look at little things that we typically wouldn't like report on in a 100-year-old home.
Right.
New construction, though, we might say, okay, this door rubs a little bit, it's going in.
Right.
You know, it's a new home. Shouldn't and that stuff that. Does happen, but, you know, let's get it perfect.
Yeah.
And we couldn't come in before, but we can come in afterwards and do our job. And I think it's pretty safe for the buyer. Provided they have that bumper to bumper warranty on the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's even better later, you know, like after things settle and everything, than you doing it, you know, right when they're done, you know, cause things take time.
Yeah. Yep. They break when they want. There is no meter on our HVAC systems that say, I'm breaking tomorrow, be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
No, they could work totally fine today and break tomorrow. That's the beauty of mechanicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's more satisfying to you, inspecting like a beautifully built home or like going into a home that just has like a million problems? Like, what's more like fun?
I mean, so if it's a beautifully built home, typically now they're bigger, and they can take a little while, but I mean, those dilapidated homes can take a long time as well. So
it's a long list.
How about vacant? Is that an option? Yeah. Let's even give me a vacant home. No. So yeah, the new homes are great. There's not a lot to report on. Typically it's all new. We shouldn't be, but we always find things wrong with it. But for all intents and purposes, it's an easier inspection, you know, for our brain. We don't have to think that hard. We know the age of it moving in. We know what we're looking for, and for the most part, it's good. But those old ones, they can be fun just because there's a lot of head scratchers. You know, you can look, you like, I can't believe.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Never seen. Yeah. How does someone not notice this? You know, yeah. I can't believe this circuit hasn't exploded. You know, this pipe's been leaking for 7 years and no one's done a thing about it. I mean, sometimes it's just head scratching on those bad ones, and you just shake your head. Like, I have no idea how you just turn away from these things
yeah.
as a homeowner. Right.
And, oh, you guys have posted some funny stuff on your social media. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Well, props to Ken McFarland, does a lot of our videos for us. And then Nikki Brown, our marketing rep, puts all that stuff together on the socials. When I was in charge of social media, it was terrible. So I'm glad that Nikki stepped up for me.
Well, she does a great job.
I appreciate that.
Well, 13 years of inspections plus the real secret. So I 23 years in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Any tips or recommendations for regular maintenance for people just to maintain their homes that you would recommend?
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. How long have you lived in your home?
4 years.
4 years. And did you have it inspected when you bought it?
Yes.
Have you had it inspected since?
No.
No. Okay. So think about the importance of buying a home and needing it inspected, right? Mm-hmm. It's important because we're looking at everything within the home. So when we talk about maintenance, people will say, oh, I have a maintenance contract with my HVAC contractor or my, well, really that's about it that people do. But when you live on a home, we have weather all the time. And excessive winds in St. Louis is considered 30 miles an hour or more, which happens darn near weekly in our area. Gusts of 30 miles an hour or more, which can damage roofs. So as far, I think homeowners should have their entire homes inspected. I don't know about every other year or three, but, you know, 4 or 5 years, I see huge value in getting a professional opinion to come out there and look at everything and say, okay, I'm maintaining my home correctly or I'm not maintaining it correctly. So, I definitely think the HVAC system is something that you want to do because we are so dependent on conditioned air. But my God, just change your filter once every 3 months at max. And you should limit that. It is the wear and tear from a 30 filter, you know, certainly can do it and keep the, you know, around the condenser units on the outside clean and maintained. But I do like those as should be serviced, in my opinion, at least annually. But man, I just don't see a reason why a homeowner wouldn't want a home inspector to come out and be like, yes, here's what's going on with the home. Let's get ahead of it.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I hear from buyers or sellers, if we say there's something on the roof, the response might be, well, it's not leaking. It's not leaking, guys. That's good. But if you wait till it leaks, it's way too late.
Right.
By the time you see the leak, it's been leaking. Right. And who knows what's going on in that attic space. So getting it checked out, in my opinion, 3 to 5 years, I think everyone should have a home inspection every 3 to 5 years. Just know what's going on with their home.
That's good a advice. Good call. That's
yeah.
a really good call.
For sure.
Well, and I know you guys are, I met with Kurt and Nikki somewhat recently, and I know you guys are kind of rolling out a new program where for sellers to get their homes inspected before listing. And I think this is a great idea. You know, there's an agent I follow out in California, and I listened to his podcast, and, you know, he was saying that, that's his protocol with his sellers, that he'll get a home inspection done. He'll provide that inspection to, and like put it on the MLS, like, hey, here's everything that's going on with the house. And then, you know, like, I think the way he does it, he's like, you know, we don't do inspection contingency. So like, this is the inspection. This is what, you know, this is what it is. Deal with it. You know, I know that variable can change whether the inspection contingency, but I think that's a really cool like idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought with you guys rolling that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that,
it's a great, and yes, it is happening in California now, as Pillar to Post is a nationwide company, we're all independently owned. But we're the coast, they're starting to see that, and one of our California, franchises says about 60% of their inspections now are pre-listing or market ready. They're called market ready inspections. Yeah. So essentially it's kind of like when you guys buy a car, if you're buying a used car, it's not like you go pick the car out and then have to take it to a mechanic, right? It's already been through a shop. It's clean. It's ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, the homes are going to start that is where I see in the next 5 to 10 years, this transition's happening here. It is happening. It's just, it's not the norm yet, but why should the buyer be responsible to find any defects within the seller's home that they've lived in? I think it should be done on the front end. I think the seller then they have no risk. They're saying, I had a third party independent person come in here and evaluate my home, and here's the condition of it. So there's a lot of liability off of the seller right there. They're going to feel better about it. And the buyer knows a professional came in and checked everything out, and, you know, very recently, maybe, you know, ideally within the 30 days. So it is something I think will help the buyers write more aggressive contracts because they know the seller's not hiding anything. Everyone worries about what they're hiding, but you know, they're saying, no, man, I'm an open book. You know, here, come check it out. I even had a realtor that was listing a house. It was for $1 million is what she told the client it needed to go for. He wanted 1.1. She said, there's no comps to support it. She said, if you're going to do that, I think you should just do all the inspections and put it out there. And he did. He booked everything under the moon from us, got everything out there, put it out there, and he ended up getting $100,000 over what he wanted. Ooh. So the $1 million comp sold for almost $1.2 million. So his little investment of $1,000 or $2,000 netted him an extra $100K. That's an extreme situation, and that is not the norm. However, it made that buyer realize it's been inspected. The buyer knew we did it, so they knew the Chad Borah team did the inspection. And we're the biggest company in town. So the clients knew us, or I'm sorry, the buyer's agents, and they were in competition trying to get it. So it made him a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
I love it. Like, because, like, I can't tell you how many times I've listed a house for someone, and then, you know, we think that, like, oh, this house, look, you just walking around, you know, I'm walking around it. I'm not fully inspecting it, right. But I'm like, you know, I typically sellers will have me over like, hey, what do we need to do before we list? And, you know, I walk through, I point out obvious things like, you know, this, you should probably paint this. Like if you guys wanted to do this, like, you know, like I went into one this past week, you know, they had, you know, two small cracks in the foundation that, you know, they said, you know, gets a little bit of water when it rains. I was like, I think you guys should get that epoxy injected. Definitely. That way, you know, it's been addressed. You've got a warranty on it, you know, and that way, you know, cause that's something people do freak out about. Like we talked about before. And, but it's so often that people will think that their house is fine and then they get it inspected. Then they're under contract. The buyer gets it inspected. And then, you know, we're getting a million things that need to be fixed. Or they're asking for someone. Like I had one somewhat recently that, you know, this guy, he rehabbed this whole house in Kirkwood. It was beautiful. I mean, like cosmetically beautiful, but then when, and I'm sure you see this a lot with flippers, you know, and then, you know, then they essentially look under the hood and there was, I mean, the guy ended up taking, it was more than like $25,000 less than what we were under contract for because of things he had to fix. And it was like, you know, maybe if he would have gotten it inspected before, he could have addressed things himself and, you know, it could have been different for him.
Yep.
And, it's so common that sellers think that everything's fine until they get that buyer's inspection report. And they're like, what? No, it's not, you know, and then like, yeah, it is.
It is. Yeah. And agents have a concern with this market ready inspection of, well, if the sellers don't know of an issue, they don't have to disclose of
that's
it.
What I was just about to
and
ask.
Right. And so valid. And I understand that, but you're going to find out at some point.
Yes.
So you rather know earlier than later?
Kind of. I mean, I feel like we're heading back into a market like what we saw in 20 and 21 where people were waiving inspections.
Yep.
And so, I mean, at that point, then it's like, well, if everybody's waiving inspections to get homes, well, why would I want to do a pre-market inspection? Yep. I can just put it on the market and not have to do anything anyway because people are coming in offering no inspections on it.
So I have a good opinion on that. Yeah. So we learned after that season was when a lot of buyers started suing sellers.
Yeah.
So that increased a boatload. So this time around, when you're starting to see that, they're waiving potentially their inspection negotiation rights, but we are seeing a lot of them we're getting for informational purposes or just the ability to walk away.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, because I always talk to my clients about this when I'm doing my consultation. You know, I was telling them, like, obviously I'm not the one. I'm just here to give you the money when you find the house that you want to buy.
Yep.
And they're like, well, with rates and all that, you know, like, I'm like, well, I'm going to point you back to an article that was written in 2000. I think it was 22. They were talking about the market of 2020 and 2021. And they surveyed like thousands of buyers during that time. And I'm like, these are buyers that bought with the lowest absolute interest rate, but this is what they had to do to win. And this is the one advantage that you're going to have right now with higher rates that you're not going to have to worry about. But there was like 72% of something like that regretted their purchase because of, they're like, oh yeah, we got a great low rate, but I also had to pay above price, but also had to waive inspections. And then all of these issues came up after the fact. And I was like, now you're not having to worry about that. And then, like, the whole article talked about the cost of inspection, like the repairs that were needing to be done and the average cost that these people had to pay to get this stuff done. That in the end, that the higher rates actually, you know, with what they're paying and getting inspections done actually is going to possibly save people in the long run.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think people realize it. Like, and I've been seeing it more and more like, we're waiving our right to negotiate inspections, but we want it for informational purposes, or we're not going to negotiate anything less than a certain dollar amount, like things like that. But I always tell people, I'm like, if you're going to do one thing, I'm like, listen, I would always get an inspection done.
It is protection for that seller. So, you know, at the end of the day, I've had agents make an offer waiving inspections, and I've had listing agents say, your offer's been accepted, but we're going to allow you to have it. Because then there is literally, they take all the pressure off to say, go ahead and get it inspected.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want you calling me six months from now and saying, I didn't tell you about this, that, or the other.
Well, but if it's not in the seller's disclosure and the sellers didn't know, is there a leg for those buyers to stand on?
Well, if they can prove it. And a lot of times when you have neighbors that like to chat, learn a lot. So, I mean, I have had buyers been like, I've been talking to a neighbor across the street for a half an hour. And I'm like, what'd you learn about the house? You know, and they're like, well, you know, so it's just one of those things where that stuff does happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if someone's basement floods, the neighbors tend to know. And if for whatever reason, they're going to go, oh, you new buyers. Oh, did they ever get that basement redone after it flooded? And they're like, huh? Uh-huh. What?
What flood?
Yeah. What flood? You know, so there is an element of as a homeowner, something happens one time, it just didn't happen. You know, I've been here 20 years. It happened once. Ah, I don't need to disclose it.
It's been
10 years.
Exactly right. So,
there's no statute of limitations on when something goes wrong with your house.
I don't think so, man. Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Yeah. So 100%.
Oh, man.
Well, Joe, you're around buildings and structures all day. Do you think the way we build homes today reflects, you know, anything about society today? Are we building like good, strong, like, would you think the homes that we're building now are better or worse than the homes that were built, say, 50 years ago?
Yeah, it is hard for me to say they're built better, but there are a lot better components than 50 years ago. I would say the pride in craftsmanship was much better 50 years ago, but I think that some of the techniques and building materials today are better. Like the engineer trusts and flooring, things like that, that are engineered are definitely stronger. Of course, 50 years ago, you didn't have PVC plumbing. You had cast iron or clay. And so you want the PVC, you got the copper now everywhere, grounded electrical. So a lot of things are better with the new. If I had to choose me, I'm going to take the new house. Why not?
Yeah.
And over the old one. But there's a reason. If you guys drive up and down the streets of St. Louis, there's not subdivisions being torn down and rebuilt.
Right.
You know, and I think as a typical resident of the St. Louis area, we see teardowns and new stuff getting built everywhere. Go down to the city. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be like, this home, every home I see has been here 100 years. Why? Because they built it like a brick shit house.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just massive and they are strong. They aren't moving. So they're incredible.
Yeah.
Gut them, put new electric and plumbing in. You got a great home.
Yeah.
Great home.
Man, I have conversations with my buyers all the time about, you know, the like getting sewer inspections. I was like, it's an absolute must. You know, this house is built in the 60s. Like you absolutely need to get a sewer inspection. It just, it kills me that like the fact that they thought clay was going to be a good idea, right. You know,
cause it leaks. It's known to leak. It's like, fine.
Yeah.
It's just like toilet water going down there. It's good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, why would you think making a pipe out of clay, and like in the way that they're, when I saw like how they're actually connected, it's like there's not even like a seal, like they just kind
of
like
they lay
like,
one they inside
like
of lay, another,
yeah, they like just pretty much butt up against each other, and that's about it.
Maybe throw a bag of dry concrete over it and let it react, and that's it. And that was okay because they figured, well, the waste for the most part is going to go into the sewer. The water could wix out or weep out. Big deal, no big deal. But I don't think they ever thought the roots were going to be an issue.
No,
they originally did it.
The roots are just, I mean, it's rare that I come across a sewer that just like is perfect.
See, that's why it baffles me when people put trees in their yards.
Yeah.
Like, it absolutely baffles me. Like, when we built, that was part of like the subdivision thing because they tore down they built on this farm. And it's like for every house that you build, you have to plant a tree in the subdivision. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want a tree in my front yard. But obviously, we've got PVC piping.
You're in good shape.
Yeah. So we're fine. But I was like, every house in our, they came in and didn't have a tree. And then all of a sudden, we came home one day and there was a tree just smacked right in the middle of the yard. I'm like,
I did it for you.
Yeah. Did you guys even look to see like if you were putting this over the plumbing or piping or any of that stuff? Yeah. Did you guys know? Like, are you sure you're putting this in a position that's not going to get fucked up? Because like the way the house, I was on a corner lot, so sewer was right in the front yard. So it came in, and then there's a head, a, sh- a head right here, and then it shot towards my backyard, and there's another one in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that tree is very close to that sewer head. I'm like,
you should be fine though. With PVC clay, they know leaks, and PVC is not supposed to. If it is, you have an issue with the pipe.
Yeah.
You should be okay.
Yeah, but just like anything with putting pressure on it, the tree gets big enough and those roots continue to grow and grow and grow and start putting pressure on it and cause it to.
So, okay, good point. I'm glad you brought that up because it is something people bring up a lot as a concern that I want to put to rest. So if you think about a tree root when it's growing, say it gets to your foundation wall, it's not like it just keeps pushing on your foundation wall. Mm-hmm. It's going to find a way to, path of least resistance. Now I'm going to go down your foundation wall. So it is one of those things where it's not just going to be like, man, I can't get through there and I'm just going to keep pushing. It just starts growing another direction.
Yeah.
So it's the trees that are the big concern, especially with foundations or even close to like a cleanout pipe, like I think you may be talking about, is when that tree expands.
Yeah.
That trunk gets bigger.
Right.
That can crush or push.
Yeah. Mm.
But as far as the tree roots, in my opinion, really, they just find somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
So I just still be all right. And they probably put a smaller tree in, right? Ornamental, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the 100-year-old oak trees that are.
No, it's a tiny,
all over Kirkwood.
Tiny little thing that almost blew over in a windstorm one time to anchor it up, right?
Speaking of Kirkwood, I feel like that's an area of town where I feel like I'm constantly seeing houses get ripped down and rebuilt.
Absolutely.
Well, and how about that one that was being built over there where the builder built over the building line by like 2 inches and they had to tear down the whole fucking thing down. I'm like, how do you fuck that up?
That is a great question. And because you're looking first at the, the person that surveyed the property.
Yeah.
And if that was done correct, well, then you're looking at the foundation, contractor. Did you screw up? Or are you looking at the builder and said, no one will notice, just do it. They're not going to make me take it all out. Well, they did. Yeah. They lost their rear ends there. God. How deflating, especially for, cause I believe that was already under contract and there was a buyer for it. And you had to start
all over,
pretty much all over,
Awful. And I couldn't imagine that. Oh my God. Oh, what a fuck up.
There was that one in Kirkwood where the there was a silica issue and built it brand new, probably $1.5 million house, and it's never occupied. It's been vacant for 3 years. It's caught up in litigation. Silica. You know the little gel packs that say do not eat silica gel? Well, there was some process done within the home that exposed the home to silica dust. And I don't know if it was whether it was in the concrete, and some people have said it's within the HVAC. There's a lawsuit going on, so I have no idea, but that is the scuttlebutt on the street. And it is $1.5 million home that is brand new, gorgeous.
Where's that at?
On Doherty Ferry, real close to Kirkwood High. And the door's boarded up. You'll know when you see it. Plywood front door. Well,
that was always curious. What the fuck happened to this?
Yeah. So it's been because they don't, I'm sure everyone's being looked at and pointed, and the builder's like, I didn't do this. Yeah. Again, the builder's the one being pointed at, but the builder didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was one of
the contractors must have done something. Who knows? I don't know. But
man, that's a nightmare.
Right. But Kirkwood went in there and said, nope.
Yeah.
This thing's unsafe. And
is that
so,
something that they test for? How do you know? Like, if it's,
I haven't the slightest clue.
There, I mean, I know we get mold tests and stuff like that. I mean, that's not going to pick that.
It wouldn't know, and I don't know how it came about. I just they had signs in the yard that were real close to it. They had signs in the yard, kind of saying what it was, and the buyers wrote, "This isn't fair" on the plywood on the front door, and they just wanted to move into their home, and then they were like, "No, it's not. We can't let you
because of this
contamination." That could be harmful to them.
Yeah.
So
right.
I
isn't there something that they could, like some sort of cleanup they could do? Like,
I thought
like a meth lab house. Like, isn't there a way like the EPA can go in and clean this shit?
And again, it was my understanding that when this dust came in the air, it entered the HVAC systems, and so it sprayed it everywhere. Because it was running. But I do not know the outcome or anything like that. This is all the rumors.
Drove by. I know exactly what house you're talking about. I've driven by it a few times here recently. It's still there.
And it's beautiful.
It's great.
Just needs a front door.
Just needs a front door.
It's not plywood and spray painted. It'd look great.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I forgot about that. Now I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Man, a lot of this stuff goes a little bit deeper than just talking about inspections. So it's more mental, more things like that. So, What does a man's relationship with his home say about his mindset and his values?
Oh God. Man, you're just asking me to judge all men. That's not fair. Yeah, that's not fair. Now, there are some men that take, and women that take, a huge pride of ownership in their home. And I just happen to be one of them. Mm-hmm. However, I think you can, and when I say judge a book by its cover, the cover is the house, the outside of the house. If you go buy a home and the yard looks good, it is clean, and it's maintained and well manicured, that is a pretty darn good indication of how well the home is taken care of. So whether that be the man or the woman in the home, I'm a firm believer that if you're purchasing a home, it's a privilege in a way. You know, you're getting something no one can take away from you in that land. And if you take care of it, it takes care of you. Real estate is the safest investment there is, unless there's a safer one that I'm not aware of. Mm-hmm. That there is. And so just being aware of your home and just taking care of it, I have a big spot in my heart for that. And I appreciate well-manicured and maintained homes.
Yeah, I'm big on my front yard. We're in competitions with the neighbors, right, and all that stuff. Like,
but does that spill over inside the home? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And in all of my years of inspecting, that rang true. Yeah. I mean, you could look at the outside of a home. I look out there, I'm like, man, this is an awesome shape. It's super clean. You go inside, it is a reflection. It is crazy. But you got the house that is just dilapidated in the front yard and weeds everywhere. You go inside and
it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. It's like weeds inside too.
Cause that people can't see that, you know, and that's the people that
you don't care what everyone else thinks about your house. You sure don't care. And what's going on in your house is different than outside. So,
yeah. Well, I'm not much of a flower or a person like that. So we had kept like just very basic, very minimal maintenance type stuff in the front, just because
pastas, stuff like that.
Same thing. That's what I got.
Yeah. It looks nice, but I don't have to go out there and clean it up all the time.
Yeah, I'm not.
I hate that aspect of it, but when it comes to cutting my grass and taking care of my grass, love that shit.
I love that. You've been moving on my street. I need another competitor. We got four or five in a row, so it's like super nice.
Oh yeah. Same. That's how it was. And it helped too. Cause like, my neighbor kind of down the street from us, we're on the straightaway. She's in PR and one of her friends owns a commercial company. So like they steal who like a lawn appliances and stuff like that, use both of our yards for one of their national commercials. I was like, I got to make sure I keep this shit up. I'm making money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Joe, in your world, what separates an average home inspector from like a great one? Like, is there something?
There is. I mean, I think we all have knowledge. I don't, and I think every home inspector has a lot of knowledge about homes, but it's bedside manner. When you talk about good from bad, it is 100% that. And it is the mindset of the individual inspecting the home of if you think your job is to go into a home and find problems with it, you need to go find a new job, because that's not our job. Our job is obviously to evaluate a home. Our job is to document what we see within the home, but it's to consult the client or the buyer that's moving into the home about the home that they're purchasing. Is there some bad stuff? Sure. But it's not our job to make it sound terrible and bad. If it's terrible and bad, there is a really good way, again, bedside manner, that you can explain it to them. So if I had one thing to say, that's absolutely it. And when we have grown our business and we've added inspectors, we do not care what they did before they came here, because we can train anybody how to inspect and what to inspect and what's right and wrong. You can't train bedside manner. So it is all about the ability to communicate and articulate.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I couldn't agree more, man. That's why I use you guys for all of my inspections, because earlier in my career, I've used a couple other, I mean, it's rare that I've used anybody. I mean, I've probably used you guys over 100 times at this point. I've dealt with inspectors and the guy who kind of took me under his wing kind of showed me real estate. He's like, oh no, we don't use him. He likes to walk buyers off cliffs.
Right.
You know, cause yeah, he'll like, you'll walk in for after the inspection and he'll like, you know, basically tell you to run, you know, or like, no, get out of this deal.
They will tell you that.
You're making a mountain out of a molehill here. Exactly. Like this can all be fixed. Like yep. there, we can, this is, we can negotiate. We're still in a point. We're still at a point with the seller that we can go back to them and, you know, make an argument here. Cause here's the thing. Now if they know it's an issue, the second it goes back on the market, they're going to have to disclose this.
Still an
and
issue.
So it's like, it's no matter who buys it, whether it's you or someone else, like the seller is going to have to address this, yeah. whether they do it now or they put it back on the market and it sits there for a few more months, then they're just losing even more money on it. So, I could not agree more. And that's why I certainly always use you guys, because you guys just have the best. I never heard it referred to as bedside manner, but that's a perfect a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Or perfect way to describe it.
That's it. It's part of our interview process. That word comes out of my mouth every time when interviewing potential candidates. And they don't know that at the time that I am judging them based on their body language and how they speak and those kinds of things. And then Rick Cabey, who's our vice president of operations, he's out there, trains all the guys. And he is one of the best as it comes to bedside manner, the most calm, cool, and collective man that I've met. And he does an incredible job of not only training them on the process, but how to articulate a bad situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Perfect. How do you guys, I'm sure that plays into a big role too, especially when you've got dads.
Oh yeah.
So just like in every aspect, every aspect of the transaction, the family always plays a major role, like decisions and stuff like that. Like, how is it that you guys, I'm sure that the bedside manner really helps with that, but how are you guys navigating dealing when parents are around or putting in their two cents and things like that?
I love it. It's a great question. I love this one. So I've been asked this before. It is, we do something every inspection that all of our guys do. Like for instance, Zach will get a call 30 minutes, hour before the inspection. And we're like, hey, what do you want me to know about the house or the clients? And he could be like, oh, they're freaking out about a roof or there's a big bad dog in the backyard, whatever. But he can also say, my client has a dad that's going to be there. And he's a huge pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. and literally tell me that just like that. And now I know, okay, great. Because now our inspectors know dad's a player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so if dad's a pain in the butt, please, for the love of God, tell our guys.
Right.
Because we can mitigate that very easily. And usually within 15 minutes, dad's eating out of our hands.
Yeah.
Because he knows that, wait a second. Like, I'll go up to dad and ask him, hey, did you have any, I know this is your daughter's home and you're here. And did you have any concerns or questions? Make him part of the process. Right. And then dad feels pretty good about that. You know, but then I remind dad, hey dad, I'm here for your kid. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for the seller. I'm not here for Zach. I'm here for your kid. And I'm going to look at this as if it was for my mom or my sister. And, but please poke around, follow me around, ask questions, whatever you need, you know, I'm here to help.
I almost would have thought like, hey, this is on a crawl space. Come on, dad.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's climb under here.
Come
let's,
with me.
Tell me what you see.
Get your flashlight.
I want your opinion on this. Let's have a conversation. I'm like, that's what you got. This is what I'm seeing. Let's come to an agreement here on how this works. And
you bring them along. I've had a dad tell me he was an electrician. And I'm like, awesome. Maybe you can teach me something about this panel. Come on over here. He wasn't even a residential electrician.
Yeah.
He was a commercial electrician that dealt with huge power lines, like a linesman.
Yeah.
And he knows nothing about branch circuit wiring. I'm like, well, then why did you need to tell me you were an electrician when you don't know anything about residential electrical?
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, you know, okay, you wanted to feel good. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, but we're not going to give dad a hard time. Like, dude, that's so cool, man. Yeah. I love that. So, yes, we have to stroke an ego here and there, but it's okay. It's what the dad needs.
Right.
Especially when they're, like you said, they're just kind of, they're involved, but let's be honest. Mom and dad are writing a lot of checks right now for their children and they have a say.
Yeah.
So well, for sure.
We're going to take care of mom and dad. We just want to know that they're a player. That's
for sure. 100%. Oh man. Well, Joe, how has being a father changed the way you look at work or your legacy or anything like that?
Man, I wish I could say I've changed the way I've worked over the years. My wife has a picture of me on our wedding day on the phone. A picture of me holding a Bud Light in my tuxedo selling a house on the phone the day we got married. So my phone's always in my pocket. So it's always there. But the kids was, man, that was an eye-opening experience because I'll never forget my first child was born in the hospital. You guys have kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whirlwind, right? Like, you know, and then when it's done, like you're like, we're pushing and like 30 minutes later, the room's dark again and everyone's gone and there's a baby in it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? Right. Yeah. You know? And so they're like, all right, get some rest. It was like 3 a.m. for me. I'm like, all right, cool. And I lay down. Then you start hearing a baby and you're like, oh no,
this is the rest.
This
of my
is
life.
It. Like, this is it. Like,
this is what everybody talks about.
I had
about.
15 minutes to be like, I'm a dad. This is the to like, uh-oh, you know, like you got to get up, you know? And so it was just, that was the biggest eye opener for me becoming a dad was that responsibility.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away. Yeah. You know,
how old are they?
She's 19 and she's a freshman at University of Missouri, Rollins Science Technology, S&T. And then I have a freshman at Kirkwood, freshman at Kirkwood. So they're in age now where they're older and they're a lot of fun. Because I was never a fan of the infant stage. Like I liked the toddler stage, but I actually like this adult stage more.
Yeah.
It for me, just because they're just like talking to one of the guys or one of the girls you don't have, you can just be you around them instead of being dad. And I think my kids have appreciated that I've kind of always been me, but they're really seeing me now and, not dad. I'm always going to be there for them and they know that, but I don't want to change who I am around them when I'm around everybody else. Right. I should be treating everyone else the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a son and a daughter. Yeah. What's it like raising a boy and a girl versus a boy versus a girl, girl versus a boy?
Yeah. So everyone said the girl be hard early be harder later in life. And the son will be harder earlier in life. And it was flip flop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My daughter was pretty good as a kid. But she's been like a perfect preteen. Mm-hmm. Like there, you know, from 13 on when everyone says it's going to be terrible. Yeah. It wasn't terrible. No, she's a very focused, very smart kid. Was into polo, played actually polo with horses, not water polo.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Don't advise you guys getting into that.
Sounds like an expensive hobby.
Yeah, it wasn't fun at all. You know, and you're, you know, every Christmas, Dad, can I have a horse? No.
No.
You can't have a horse. I'm like, the horse is not the problem. It's the feeding and boarding of the horse. That's the problem. You want a horse, we can get a horse, but we can't take care of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I'm going to put it. Backyard. You need an acre in Kirkwood, sweetie. We can't do that. Sorry. Yeah. Got to move. Have a horse.
Damn Kirkwood. Yeah. It's all their fault. It's their ordinances.
But, yep. They can't do it. We can't move. So.
My hands are tied. Honey. Yeah. I can't. I don't know.
You're only allowed to buy one house in Kirkwood. So she's been a piece of cake, honestly. Never had to bother about homework. Yeah. Like, you know, got pretty much straight A's. And so she was easy. My son was a lot of my friends know he was a huge pain in the butt. I mean, as a baby and to the point where we're in the safe zone, right, guys?
Oh, yeah. All right. Sure. Yeah. Nobody's listening.
Yeah. When he was about 15 months old and, you know, they're moving around quite a bit. He could get out of his crib. Very simple. And we found him in the kitchen with a knife at 15 months old. You know, we found him another day, had the fridge open, was holding a bottle of wine, and we couldn't keep him in, and we didn't know he was getting out. Oh. And the bed was dropped all the way down, and so I made walls, 12-inch extenders, and bolted it, screwed it to the side of the crib. So it was like 4 feet deep. He was in there about a week before he found out how to get out. Yeah, I mean, he was doing some crazy stuff and, you know, it was like parkour getting out of there, but he did it. And so I couldn't keep him in the cage for his safety. So I put a top on it. My son was in a cage. I am not bullshitting you. For 18 months of his life, I had a removable door, didn't lock or anything. It wouldn't, if there was a fire, a fireman would easily be able to remove it, but he had to go to bed in a cage. And every day we put him in, the door would be off. Like, dude, we don't have to put this on. Just stay in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you guys. Every single day he got out. Every single day. And he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
He knew it was coming.
I mean, saw it as a challenge.
I mean, it was just like, dude, every single day. And now he's actually matured so much in the last year or two. He's 15 now.
Yeah.
But he's just a great kid now. But man, he just wouldn't take no for an answer. And I'm like, you need to go into insurance sales and or something because you were so persistent. Even when he knew the answer was no or he knew he was gonna get in trouble, he just did it again.
He sounds a lot like my oldest man. He's does not take no for an answer.
Doesn't
like,
take
he
no.
just If you tell him no, he's asking again, or he's just going to go do it. Yeah. Or, it's like he's a little daredevil too. Oh man. Like he loves riding his scooter. That's his new thing. We live at the bottom of a hill and we're in a cul-de-sac and there's a bunch of other kids. All four houses have kids like under five and they all play together and it's amazing. But like he's trying to keep up with the five-year-olds, going down the hill, like way up this hill and they fly down. He's wiped out a couple times in the last 2 weeks. He's like covered in road rash, like his elbows, knee, got a big scratch on his, like he just
doesn't care.
Gets right back on it. Yeah. Cries for like a minute and then he sees the other kids are going again. He's like, all right, I'm getting back on.
Right. Don't miss out.
We actually have family photos scheduled for tonight and my wife's just been like trying to keep him off the scooter for like the last 3 days. And scooter's canceled today. Scooter's broken. We're going to have to, scooter will work.
Zach, go take the damn wheel off the scooter now.
Take it to work. I think you need it to ride around.
Yeah, to ride it around. Unknown.
Yeah, that's right. That'd be a good idea. What are you doing with those scooter?
Scooter races.
Just start rolling around.
That's how my second one is. He's the definition of fuck around and find out. Like that was in the dictionary. Oliver's picture would be right there because he just perfect example. When we had the last snowstorm, we got all the ice. Like my ex-wife's got video of him at her house, and she's like, he's in like a Spider-Man costume, and she's like, Oliver, be careful on the ice. It's like, all right, Mom, all right. He starts goofing around and just eats shit.
Did you do it like multiple times?
Multiple times. She sent me three videos 3 days in a row, and then he came over to be with me, and then again goofing around on the ice. I just didn't get video of it. He just ate shit 4 days in a row on the ice, goofing around on the ice. It's like, come on, dude. When are you going to learn?
Figure it out.
When Spider-Man, we're fine. Spider-Man. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, where's those Spidey senses at, man. Kids are great.
Kids are great, man. They've been awesome. I love being a dad more now than it gets better for me every day. Yeah. So, daughter has a boyfriend in college now and that's actually fun. It's her first boyfriend and 19, what I mean? You're like, all right, cool. But like it's, you're seeing a whole other side of your kid.
Sure.
And I've embraced it and loved it, never really knew how I was going to take it. And, it's awesome.
Yeah. So. I feel like as long as, she's with
a good guy
that you're like, oh, this seems like a good kid,
just
like,
having a good time.
I'd hang out with him, absolutely. Like, I could, as long as she's not with some asshole or, whatever. Like,
did you take that bedside manner approach with him?
I did. I did. I mean, I had to figure, she wasn't like a 15-year-old girl and he would, they're both, smart individuals. He's a aerospace engineer major.
Oh, wow.
She's a mechanical engineer major. So if you guys can draw the picture, but, I mean,
they're writing love notes.
That's right.
What is it? Calculus equations.
That's what I'm saying. they're like, well, we got to look at the Pythagorean theorem here, Dad. And then, I don't know. Sometimes you're just like, when she was 13, I'm like, you're the smartest kid in the house. You're the smartest person in our house at 13. And that has been true ever since. So,
wow.
Yeah. They're great kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
Well, with the long career that you've had, father, all of that stuff, how do you define success across everything?
That's hard for me because I still feel like I haven't gotten to it. Okay. I think for me, success is I'm building for the retirement. So it's the end game for me. Mm. Like, I think you work hard. I'm a work hard now, play hard later. I don't play hard now. I fortunately work a little bit too much, but I have found a game in just preparing for my future and being super knowledgeable about it that I get a high out of, like, so for me, it's about hitting those numbers and getting to that point where my wife and I can retire early. I don't want to work till I'm 65 and I want to be done before I'm 60. And so trying to get that path there. So to me, that would be a success get two adult kids that are on their own doing their thing. And then my wife and I have good years just to do whatever we want, but she's still my best friend. We hang out every day, every night on the couch and, watch shows, and she doesn't like sports. She'll sit there a little bit or go to the bedroom and I get to watch the game. But I mean, you know, I don't go out a whole lot anymore and party. Like it's we just enjoy our time together. So
how long have you guys been married?
Here we go. daughter's 19, 20 years. Okay. Yeah. We just celebrated our 20th. The Turks and Caicos last year.
Oh, very cool. What's it take to have a successful relationship like that for 20, well, obviously 20 plus years, because you dated before then.
We dated 5 years before then. Patience, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Grass isn't going to be greener. I mean, you know, everyone can always think that, but holy cow, patience. It's hard. And as men, I don't have a ton of it. But I do with a lot of things. And, for the successful part of it, I think it's just knowing that this is still it's your person, no matter what, no matter how bad it may seem at some points, it's still your person, because you can think of all the good times far outweigh the bad. And, I've found that our relationship's gotten better and better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. Like when the kids first are born, it's like, it's your turn. Whenever the baby cries, I'm like that to me, I'm like, what turns? Like we shouldn't be fighting over this. We were. That's our, you know, it happens, but just started not complaining about it.
Yeah.
So
not keeping score.
That's exactly right.
Key to it, I think, you know, I'm in that right now.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old, you know, it's like, I can see myself doing it sometimes, you know, I've been doing all, and then like, I try to catch myself like, hey, you know, like
stop.
we're both doing shit here. You know, like we both have our good days. We both have our bad days. You know, we're both putting as much effort into this as we absolutely can, you know, and some days, you know, it's 50-50. Some days it's 95-5, you know, and it's okay. That's going
to
be like that.
And sometimes. It's to communicate that and to say, hey, I'm out. I'm not gonna be able to help you. Great. When she was at home and I was working, I know I didn't have that mindset of she's also working, even though she's an at home mom, because you put me there at 8 a.m. in the morning and say, would I rather be home all day tending to these two kids or go to work? I'll go work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So so now I'm going, wait a minute, I'm choosing work over this. She doesn't get to choose. So when she comes home, when you come home and you're like, it's your turn, I get it.
Yeah.
Like you get mental breaks at work during the day, whether it just be walking down the street or having lunch out or whatever.
Sitting down for a podcast.
Yep. You know? they don't get it. Yeah. You know, they don't get it and they're exhausted. So, I mean, for whatever it's worth, marriage isn't easy, and you get through the kid stage and everything. It's great. Yeah. So
that was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, what kind of mental toughness or grit does it take to work in the field for 20 plus years? Like you've been doing?
Thick skin is needed.
Especially in this industry.
Yeah. The mental toughness part is you got to deal with people that look at you when something goes wrong in their home and they think that you missed it or it was your fault. As far as for me in the field, it's helping to educate people that shit breaks. And I am constantly trying to tell people or advise them that, you don't get a home inspection and your home is perfect and you move on. So the mental toughness of trying to navigate people after the close, has been tough. Me,
yeah,
but it is something that has helped us grow in the business to help us do that earlier in the process to say, guys, this stuff's going to break. You're going to replace your air conditioner at some point, those kinds of things. So as far as mental toughness, man, for me, it really just comes down to, I don't know that I have anything other than preparing the clients. I don't know that I can say I prepared myself or can't prepare anyone any better. So I'm just Joe.
Yeah. I'm just
joking. I mean, that's it.
We often talk about like what's hidden beneath the surface, and as an inspector, you're pretty much living that metaphor.
Yeah.
How has that shaped your worldview?
Be more specific.
In terms of like seeing like what's important beneath the surface instead of the outside, like the overall thing. Like what's beneath the surface is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, my time I find is valuable. Nothing. I didn't acknowledge that before. I just thought it was always my duty to devote all my energy to serving everybody. And in real estate, your phone doesn't stop. And when you are running the largest inspection company in town and you have hundreds and hundreds of real estate agents that have your cell phone, your phone rings all the damn time.
Sure.
So it, you know, it's buzzing in my pocket right now. And, you know, but it is, you know, so it took a while because I was answering these calls literally until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, every day of the week. And, I've had to pause that, but not pause it. I still do it. Beautiful thing is that when a realtor calls me on a weekend or evening and says, Joe, I'm so sorry bothering you. You're done. That's great. You can have me all night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You acknowledge the fact that it's my time and that's something I'm giving you right now. So, but it's when they expect it. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it's the value of my time and I need to do a better job of unplugging. And I've been trying to over the last few years of taking my vacation and I've still never changed my email. It says I'm out of the office. I don't change my voicemail. I return calls. I'm on vacation. All the, like, no one knows when I'm gone. It's like I was last summer in Disney World on the phone with a realtor talking through a building inspection in line for Space Mountain, you know? And it's like, they had no idea. Yeah. I was with my family. My wife just knows it by now. And my kids, you know, they're old enough now. It's like, this is dad, but the time is valuable. So I'm trying to do less of that. We have people in place to help.
Well, dude, I can't tell you how many times you've answered my calls,
yeah.
You know, when it's been a weekend or late at night, like, hey man, I'm so sorry. We're right in the middle of this inspection. The buyer's, you know, concerned about this. Like, what's your thought? You know, like you always take my call or even if you miss it, you always call me back. It's that's why I work with you guys and you're the best in town and I can't say enough good things about Builder Post.
Thank you, man.
You guys, you guys have helped me out so much and all my clients over the years. And I, they're just the best.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. That's what we try to do.
Yeah, man.
Well, I mean, I don't get to deal with you guys nearly as much as that agent. I mean, usually if I'm talking to an inspection company, it's like, hey, do you mind sending me a receipt for this? The agent did a really good job of getting closing costs covered, and we're going to get this person reimbursed.
I want to pay you. Okay.
So, yeah, no, it's, but I mean, you guys, you see your team, especially your team, just everywhere. Yeah. And I know a lot of agents that work with you, so it just speaks highly to the reputation and quality that you guys do. So I'm glad that we were able to get you in here and have this conversation with you. So
yeah, Joe, this has been great. We really appreciate your time and everything.
So. It's my pleasure. Anytime, brothers.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything else you want to pitch or talk about before we let you go?
No, man, this is your guys' jam, so
okay.
This is all about you two today.
We always end the show playing a little game,
something
we don't put on the questionnaire. We call it the tombstone game.
That's fine.
Here lies Joe. What would you like it to say on your tombstone?
Well, I'm going to be burned, so there won't be anything on my tombstone. I will be ashes, but if there's a memory of me, I think it would just be that I was good to everybody, man. I never think about that tombstone. But yeah, it's just going to say doctor.
Doctor.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. 1976. Let's hope it's after I got to enjoy some retirement.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I'm going to have a legacy or anything like that. No, but yeah, I mean, I hope I'm missed.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, that's a good man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Awesome.
There it is. A good man.
That's good man.
What I want on my tombstone.
A good man.
Perfect. Good man. Just came out. Book it. That's right.
Put it down.
Honey, are you paying attention?
That's right. Kristen, a good man.
A good man. Well, thanks again, man. This was great. Appreciate your time and everything. So thank you guys for paying attention to the show. If you could just click that subscribe button for us, that would help us out a ton. Click that like button as well. Comment what you thought below, and we will see you next time.